Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Sirius Report. Well, Paul, over the course of its existence to date, America has defaulted on its currency 5 times. In Europe, over the past 2 centuries, a primary reserve holder for the continent has defaulted at least 3 times. And as we stare down the barrel of the largest debt structure in the history of finance, defaults on every Western currency are not simply a possibility, but an inevitability.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've nailed it perfectly on the head. We've spoken, as have many other people, about the debasement of currencies over a long period of time. And the dollar is a great example of that. But we're now in a situation where the issue of debasement is baked in the cake. The extent of the debasement is enormous. But we have to look at recent historical events to understand that debasement is going to give way to the destruction of currencies because, in essence, Western governments, and this contradicts a lot of the perception people have, are going to do absolutely everything to prevent another collapse. The only problem they have this time around is it's an everything collapse because it's every facet of the financial system. It is every facet of corporations through to small, medium enterprises to single businesses, well, single person businesses, to whatever companies you want to include in that regard. And of course, it also relates to the likes of you and I, as just ordinary people living wherever we do in the world. And I think it's worth starting just briefly to talk about the fallout of 2008. Why am I mentioning it? Because that was the moment when, instead of taking the dose of medicine and accepting the fact that the financial system was destroyed, they said, no, we can't allow that to happen. We have to basically bail out the entire Western financial system with enormous help from the Chinese, who, because without, as we said before, without the Chinese, the West would have collapsed, because they said we can't allow that to happen. And there's an argument to say, well, yes, that's true, but they could have found ways to allow institutions to go to the wall and saved the parts of the financial system that mattered, such as our bank accounts, and let all the endless speculation and worse to just vaporize and die. But of course, that never happened. But that gave us a big indication that as far as was deemed necessary, the Western financial system would have to be saved no matter what the consequences were. Now, if we fast forward then to the pandemic, March 2020, then the scenario became we have to save everything. So we will have to save financial institutions, but we'll also have to bail out and save everybody, including the likes of you and I, which meant they printed trillions of dollars, euros, pounds, to make sure that everybody didn't, their businesses didn't collapse, and they were able to sustain themselves. Because if they hadn't done this, the entire financial system and, by definition, us as people, most people would have completely capitulated. So who knows in the end how much money was actually printed to bail out everything. But what that told us again is we cannot have a scenario where not only does the financial system capitulate, but we can't have a situation where the people capitulate. Because if we have 100 million Americans or 50 million British people or wherever we are in the Eurozone, the same situation applies. We cannot allow that to happen. It doesn't matter what the consequences are, because we'll just sort it out. It won't be a problem. somehow magically it'll all work out. And then we had huge inflation that they couldn't understand why. When it was obvious, if you print trillions of dollars and you put it into the real economy, of course you're going to have inflation. I mean, it was so ridiculous, but that's because they said, well, it didn't happen after the banking crisis. Yeah, because they ring-fenced it and kept it within the banking sector. So then we did have massive inflation. It's called all those ridiculous asset bubbles that now exist, where companies are valued at X when in reality their true valuation is X minus Y, when Y can be anything from 20 to 50 to 80%. It's as simple as that. So here we are today, and the situation again is we are finding financial institutions are beginning to be in serious trouble. And we've talked about things related to, for example, like private equity, where there's now an admission from even Western central banks that that is a gigantic black hole that's opaque that could cause a 2008 financial crisis. And there are many others, but we're not here to detail those specifically today. The other question is, and we're seeing it across Western countries, where nations like Germany is a great example, where their entire economy is collapsing. The rate of deindustrialization is enormous. And therefore, the question that needs to be asked next is, when we have the next crisis, it is going to be an everything crisis. It's not going to be a 2008 banking crisis or what happened in 2020, where it was more, how are we going to bail out the average person to make sure the whole country doesn't collapse? This would be a banking crisis stroke everything crisis related to us as the civilians of countries. Then the question becomes, okay, what are they going to do to, in their minds, to try and resolve, in inverted commas, that enormous problem? Because they're not going to sit there and just allow it all to collapse. Because again, they'll go, well, if we allow that to happen, if the financial system goes, and then the civilian population are destitute, basically, then we're going to have an enormous societal problem with huge civil unrest, and they're going to rightly sit there and go, we can't allow that to happen. I know there's all these claims that that's exactly what they're trying to do. Well, if that was true, why didn't they do that in with the pandemic? They did the exact opposite, because there's no way they're going to feel comfortable about upending the lifestyle of just about every person in the country when there are, in the case of the United States, 350 million people. They're really going to deal with that fallout. Absolutely impossible. So I'll give way to Ken there, and then I think what we'll do after he's spoken is assess, okay, what's going to be the fallout of another crisis of that of happening in, 2025 or 6 or 7, whenever it comes about, and what does that mean in terms of currencies, and when does debasement give way to total destruction, and what does that mean in principle?
When it comes to the United States, I'm so reminded of a famous quote from the movie Star Wars, where Darth Vader said, "I am altering the deal. Pray I do not alter it any further." When I mentioned the intro that there have been five different defaults, if you listen to mainstream economists or mainstream analysts, they no longer consider a recession a recession, even though it's been that way for over 100 years. The parameters. When it comes to a default, things like shortly after the War of 1812, the US failed to pay its interest payments. Lincoln had to recreate the currency into the greenback. Roosevelt voided gold clauses in 1933. Silver was removed from the currency in 68. Nixon closed the gold window in 71 and replaced the dollar not backed by gold, but backed by oil. These are all legitimate defaults, even though people don't want to say it. And these are altering the deals that a nation makes with its people and with the world in regards to what its currency is. Now, what are we starting to see? And it's something we Paul and I can pursue a little bit later. But what is the President Trump seeking to do to the dollar now? Well, now he's introducing replacing the dollar with stable coins. So the dollar keeps shifting because it is no longer sufficient as a form of money or currency that the promise of it to the people and to the world appears to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is why it's become a crisis of far greater proportion because the world is rejecting the dollar and ongoingly it is rejecting the dollar. We've talked about this previously. I don't want to make the same points over and over again because it's pointless. But you can see the United States is now bankrupt, how desperate it is. Going around the world begging the Chinese to buy hundreds of billions of dollars of US treasuries and failing, saying to South Korea, give us $300 billion in cash. I mean, the US is on its knees, Europe's on its knees, and a lot of this is being caused, excuse me, by the enormous outlay they've had with respect to, excuse me, the Ukraine war. I mean, that's part of the problem. The other prop, because then, of course, in Europe's case, they've caused massive deindustrialization by insisting on not having cheap Russian energy and having to buy very expensive US energy, which is completely ridiculous. But let's suppose and understand the scenario where obviously this huge economic decline continues, and it will continue across the whole of the Western world. Coupled with all the ongoing problems that are rearing their head in the financial system and is only going to get worse, what happens when governments across the world sit there and go, well, if we don't take drastic action, not only are we not going to be in government anymore, but we risk serious impacts on the broader societies of all the countries. We cannot allow that to happen. And when the crisis becomes an everything crisis, how much money are they going to end up printing to bail everything out? And it's impossible to put a figure on that with any precision. But I think there's an argument to say we're talking tens of trillions of dollars in the case of the United States. We're talking tens of trillions of euros in the case of the Eurozone and in the case of the United Kingdom. Well, okay, it's a single country. Well, it's still probably going to be maybe £10 trillion. And I can't put figures. It could be an awful lot bigger than that. Because if you start to look at what's going to happen along with the financial system and as that all unravels, and it's an everything problem in the financial system now, then suddenly that figure balloons. So it could be far higher than we think. Well, all that's going to do in the process then is not debase currencies. That day is gone. It then totally destroys the currency when that happens. And I'm not going to say 100% that the worst case scenario is going to happen. You have to hope someone somewhere does something to try and prevent some of this happening, but thus far, there's no evidence of that. So if we work on the basis of the worst case scenario, which is a distinct possibility, then what that means is the currency is destroyed. The currency is destroyed, then we're going to have very high inflation. And to the point that it becomes impossible for anybody, well, hardly anybody, to literally survive on a daily basis. If you had currencies that destroyed, then who knows what your weekly shopping bill will be, for example. And the reason they'll end up doing this is because they think they'll be able to solve the problem. They think, well, we managed to get away with it in 2008. We got away with it sort of in 2020, but they didn't at all. In fact, they caused massive problems in the financial system, which have not gone away and accelerated the demise of it. But that's their answer. And in the process, they will make everything totally unaffordable. You will have inflation that would be mind-blowing. And this is the fate that we are likely to see. And it's not being done deliberately. I'm getting really sick and tired of hearing these stupid comments about it being done deliberately. Who is going to deliberately destroy their empire and risk infuriating 300 million Americans, hundreds of millions of Europeans, and 70 million British alone? They just don't do that, which is why they will think they can fix it. They'll think that magically that somehow this will not cause the inevitable destruction of currencies. But when that happens, then someone's going to have to act very, very fast to deal with the problem, to stabilize societies, to stabilize economies, and to stabilize the financial system. And that's the point when and why the global South countries are moving at breakneck speed to get out of everything to do with our financial system, our economies, our debt, because they know that's what's coming. And the more they can insulate themselves, the less the blowback's going to be on them. And no matter what happens in the West, if, as China avoided it in 2008, they will do their damnedest to avoid it as well whenever it happens in the future. And that is why the dollarization is accelerating, and why obviously we have seen price movements in things like gold. Again, we're not offering investment advice, we're just telling you what we're observing. You have to go and make your own decisions and consult your own professional financial advisors if you want to do so. But I'm just pointing out this is the scenario where we're going, because they've never learned lessons in history. You cannot keep bailing things out, because the consequences further down the line is going to be infinitely worse.
Yeah, one of the interesting things that people forget very quickly is it was either back in 2022 or 2023. I think it was 2023. The upper echelons of finance in the West, i.e., the Bank of International Settlements, out of nowhere, suddenly reclassified gold as a tier one asset. And that went into effect on July 1st of this year. And we know for at least over a year, many central banks have been purchasing gold, divesting themselves of their treasury reserves, of their euro reserves, and instead buying gold. Now, of course, countries like India, China, and Russia have been doing it for nearly a decade or more. But in the West, you've suddenly seen central banks really about the last year, as we've entered into this phase where gold is once again a tier one asset. So the BIS knew the writing on the wall that the current system, and take a look at a number of different things that have happened. We saw in Europe the Dutch or the German Bund went negative. The ECB was running negative interest rates for a long time. The United States now has interest on the debt, which just yesterday crossed over $38 trillion. It has more interest that it pays on the debt than it does for what it does for the military, and just short of what it does for Social Security. Then we're starting to see a lot of other countries that, like Germany, which had gone decades and decades, nearly 100 years, without having deficit spending. Now they're accelerating the deficit spending. We're seeing China, which for 40 years had sustained a pretty much even keel on its interest rates and its bonds. Now all of a sudden it's losing control. We've reached that point, and gold, the price of gold is not moving because, the demand is so great. Yes, it is, the demand is great, but that's not the primary reason. It's the devaluation of the currencies that monetize that gold. You see that in the prices across the board. I mean, up until recently, we had all-time highs in the Japanese yen versus gold 2 years ago. We had all-time highs against the euro, against gold a year ago. Now the US and the dollar are starting to fit into that. So all Western currencies really are devaluing to the point that gold is screaming in people's faces that that is not just a possibility, but it's occurring right as we speak.
Yeah, and I think probably a final point for me to make is the fact that because we have politicians in the West who are totally incapable, and their advisors and everyone, to actually make tough decisions and go, well, this is what we really need to do. They don't want to do it because they think it's political suicide. But in the end, they're going to sow the seeds of their destruction because they didn't do anything about it. And they don't want to face reality, and reality is going to hit them squarely between the eyes, whether they like it or not. And that is the fundamental problem. If you have problems, you have to deal with them. But we have had, for the last, since the 80s, but particularly since 2008, financialization, which is all, we can never allow anything to blow up. It doesn't matter how bad businesses are, they must be allowed to survive. If the worst comes to the worst, well, put them in chapter 11. But there are certain categories of businesses who, doesn't matter what they do, they can't fail. Well, that just encourages reckless behavior and not actually having businesses based on solid fundamentals. And no wonder that underpins all the problems that we're seeing now. And in essence, there is no solution to this. They could have in 2008 made the tough decisions, which I wrote to the governments and told them this is what you need to do. It's not palatable, but this is how you can get around this problem. If they'd done it, we wouldn't have been sat here recording this, today on October the 23rd, 2025, because there would have been a totally different outcome. And probably, ironically, unipolarity would have survived. I mean, but we are where we are, and that's, how things have turned out. And it was, to be honest, expected that they wouldn't make tough decisions. But because of that, they will back away from this. And then, of course, what will be interesting when things get really bad, what's going to happen to all these politicians? They're going to be nowhere to be seen. And you will see resignations and people leaving the world of politics in ways that is unprecedented in history, because they don't want to be held accountable for the things they are accountable for. But that's why I thought it was worth talking about this today, because the idea of the destruction of currencies just seems not to be a reality. Well, it is very much a reality. Now, there is a chance they could try and do the right thing this time and actually deal with the tough decisions. It's not going to make things less painful in some ways, but it would stop the absolute worst aspects of currency destruction happening. But is that likely to happen? Almost certainly not. But you never know, we might be pleasantly surprised and in the future talk about the day when someone did make tough decisions and actually tried to circumvent some of the problems and to alleviate some of those problems and lessen the overall burden. But thus far, there's no evidence to suggest that because, frankly, I don't see anybody anywhere in the Western world who has the capability to deal with what's coming.
Very well said. To everybody here at the Serious Report community, as always, thank you for your support. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, comment, send this out to anybody you think it might be important to. And until the next time we get together, have a great day.